This message entitled Ironing Boards, Baked Beans and Jesus, Evangelism the Student Alpha Way by Louise Boswell was recorded at Mobilize, part of the New Frontiers Together in a Mission Conference 2011 in Brighton.
So, welcome to my seminar. Thank you so much for coming. This is quite exciting. I once went to a conference. I was asked to speak at a seminar, and they said on the day there were a few other seminars running. And what happens is everyone arrives and then they sign up. And then there was this awkward moment where about an hour before the seminar, a girl came up to me looking very sheepish. And she sort of said, I've got something to tell you. And I was like, okay. Didn't know what it was. She's like, I'm really sorry. Only one person is signed up to your seminar. And I was like, oh, okay. Never mind. It's fine. She's like, would you like to take him out for a coffee? And I was like, no, that would be weird. We're not on a date. Like, we'll just carry on. And in the end, two people came. So I doubled my numbers. So this is amazing. So hopefully that wasn't because people didn't want to come to my talk. It was just that I was up against Tear Fund. And I love Tear Fund, but I think they just had it all. They obviously had the sweets and, you know, champagne and got everyone there. So thank you so much for coming. For those of you who maybe have just arrived, heard about the MAWAM and don't know what you're coming to a seminar about, this seminar is aptly and very snappily named Ironing Boards, Baked Beans and Jesus, Evangelism, the Student Alpha Way. And so hopefully all of you are here because you've got an interest in maybe like baked beans, maybe you like ironing, or maybe you want to tell your friends at university a bit about Jesus. And so I work for Student Alpha. I've worked there at Alpha International for almost 4 years now, and I'm the Student Alpha Relationship Manager, and I've been doing that officially for just over a year. My name's Louise. Hopefully you've seen that. But everyone calls me Boz, thus the surname. But actually, sadly, I'm going to lose my surname soon because I'm getting married in 38 days to a lovely man called Tom. I'm 26. What else can I tell you about myself? I went to Nottingham University. I studied social and cultural studies, which isn't a Mickey Mouse subject, despite what people might try and say to me. I graduated 5 years ago now, which is absolutely devastating because it really means that I'm well and truly not a student and not even a graduate really anymore. But hopefully you'll still allow me to speak a little bit about student life. Hopefully I still remember a few things. And so we're going to talk about Student Alpha. How can you talk to your mates at university about your faith? And Student Alpha is a practical tool for evangelism, which is being used all over the world and all over the UK. And it's one of many tools. And hopefully it will equip you today with something maybe a bit different. So what we're going to do to start, I thought we would show a very short little clip, a little video that we put together that we sent out to some of our Student Alpha peeps about a year ago. And it was Jamie Haith, who's actually hiding down there in the corridor. Hi, Jamie. And he heads up our ministry. And so it's him just telling us a little bit about Student Alpha. And I thought it would just give people a good overall taster for what we're about to talk about.
Thanks to you, there have been more Student Alpha courses running all over the world than ever before, in all kinds of different locations. People have been running it big.
Or you could do Student Alpha small. We've got so much to be thankful for. But most importantly, a massive thank you to all of you who've been involved in running Student Alpha courses all over the world. Courses have been running on campus in Colombia, in Brazil, in Glasgow. 14 churches have worked together in unity using Student Alpha to see the students of their city won to Christ. Courses have been running in nightclubs, cafes, restaurants, homes. If you turned up for a drink at the Notting Hill pub opposite the university in Melbourne, Australia, you could have done an Alpha course. Churches all over Canada sponsoring Student Alpha courses because they are so aware of the urgency of this vision. Courses are springing up all over America with a mass movement of 24/7 prayer on campus. We've seen God do amazing things this year. Lives have been changed forever, but it's not enough. We want to see more. Our vision is to give every student in the world the opportunity to attend an Alpha course. We don't want it to pass anyone by, which is why we're so excited about our new online resource. Everything you need to run a Student Alpha course is now available on our blog site, studentalpha.org. Couldn't be easier. Just click and play.
This is Student Alpha. The whole course has been squeezed down into 7 weeks to fit into a university term. Each talk has been squashed down to be a little bit shorter, and the whole thing's been spiced with some multimedia elements.
We're hoping for an explosion of courses all over the world as students invite their friends, grab some pizza, and discuss what they've been watching online.
There we go. You might have noticed a cameo from me there in a few different places. So Student Alpha is for students. Hopefully that explains it in the name. How many of you here are actually at university? Give me a little show of hands. Most, the majority. And some of you, are you of student age or just have an interest in students and work with them, student workers? Okay, brilliant. That's great. Well, first of all, I just want to set the scene a little bit about student life. As you know, because most of you are there, it's a unique time in people's lives. It's, you know, people have moved away from home for the first time. And often you're having that opportunity to suddenly begin to think about, what do you believe? Why do I believe it? Did I always just go to church because mum and dad took me? Did I just fancy that boy in the youth group or whatever it was? And suddenly, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, you're there and you're having this opportunity to explore what you think and why. And the university landscape across the UK is completely varied, and the people are very different from whatever university you go to. So in London, even in itself, in its little microcosm, you know, you've got Imperial College with loads of really, really clever sciencey people, and then you've got like Royal College of Music next door. Everyone's like the next Beethoven, not that he played the violin. And so, you know, you've got this huge mixture. And so any university that you're at is going to be very different from the one next door or to the one that your friends might be at. So it's all about, we need to think about who are the people that are around us and what will be best for them. How can we talk to them and how can we become friends with them? So I want to just next slide, Al. Okay, it's Sunday morning. It's 10 o'clock. Your alarm goes off. You're like, oh no, I don't want to wake up the rest of my halls. Everyone will be like, why is your alarm going off on a Sunday morning? Where are you going? And you're like, oh, I really, you know, so you've got to do like the gauntlet of running down your hall, trying to get out before people start asking you, why aren't you staying in to watch Hollyoaks or the Omnibus? Why aren't you watching the X Factor rerun with us this morning and eating cold pizza? And, you know, all you want to do is you're going out with your CU to go look at churches. And it's that horrible thing when you're suddenly like, how am I going to actually explain this? That I am a bit crazy, that I'm getting up on a Sunday morning, or maybe if you're lucky, your churches at university have evening services as well, but often they don't. And you've suddenly got that thing of you've made it through Freshers' Week without really maybe having to sort of tell anybody that you're a Christian. And now it's that thing on Sunday morning, how are you going to, you know, no one's going to buy it if you say you're going for a run. Are they really? So how do we begin to talk to our friends about our faith? And I quite like the way that this seminar stream was called Reaching and Keeping Your Mates at University. I was like, that's quite good. Because you don't just want to reach them. You do still want to be friends with them at the end of the year, don't you? You don't want to have sort of driven them all away. So what is Student Alpha? Student Alpha, for those of you who don't know, is a 7-week course. It's obviously taken from the original, from the classic Alpha course. And we've made it into 7 weeks to fit into a university term time. It's an introduction to the Christian faith. It's a practical tool for evangelism, and it gives people the opportunity to explore the meaning of life. So you might have seen some of the bus campaigns and stuff that we've done with Alpha, and it's like, is this it? Yes, no, maybe. The meaning of life is, and then fill in the blanks. And so the whole idea is that we're wanting to give people an opportunity to begin exploring what Christianity is, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity to introduce them to the person of Jesus along the way. And so the classic Alpha course is 10 or 11 weeks, and it's usually, some of your churches might run the classic Alpha course. Often they might use the Nikki Gumbel DVDs. Nikki's our vicar at our church in London. Or people might give the live talks. But Student Alpha is a little bit different, which we're going to go on to. So the next bit, Al. Thank you. My beautiful assistant over here, Alex Wood. A round of applause. So Student Alpha has been squeezed, squashed, and spiced. So what it means, squeezed into 7 weeks, Oh, too soon now. Go back. It's all right. It's all right. It's been squeezed into 7 weeks to fit into your university term time, because I know that the first couple of weeks in term when I arrived at university, I wasn't able to organise anything or do anything because I was just back and seeing all my mates and trying to do exams and crazy. So we realised that actually for you guys to run a course in 10 or 11 weeks just isn't realistic. So we've squeezed it into 7 weeks. We've squashed the talks so they're not as long. So they're about 30, 35 minutes long. And if you watch them online, you can obviously pause them if you need to have a little break. And they're spiced with multimedia elements. So to try and make it a little bit more engaging, you know, we've grown up as a generation where we're very much into sort of media and technology. I know that when you're sitting in a lecture all day, you know, if you're in lectures all day and people are just talking at you with PowerPoints, then it can be a bit boring. So it's just that thing of wanting to use bits of multimedia to try and engage people and to sort of keep people's minds going rather than it being like, I've switched off now. So that's how Student Alpha is different. So you might be thinking, well, why should I be bothered? Yes, there it is. You got a little glimpse that early. Why should we bother? You know, I'm not actually here now in my seminar. I'm not going to give a talk about why evangelism is important, because I think the theme of this conference is together on a mission. And we all know that is, you know, it was the great commandment that we're called to go out and make disciples of all nations. And at university, we're still called to go and do that. And we can be everyday evangelists as we are. We are real people with interesting lives, and we've got a passion for something, and we have a faith. And actually, we are called to share that with people. And that doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't just have to be for the people up front on a Sunday. It doesn't just have to be for, I don't know, you might have an outreach or a mission team, which is brilliant, but it doesn't just have to be for those people. We can all take responsibility for it, and we don't have to know everything. You know, we just have to be able to have our story and be able to want to go on a journey with our friends, to commit to being in a relationship with them and saying, look, I love you and I want to tell you a little bit more about what I believe and why it's made a difference to me. And it's worth it because it's all about planting seeds. You just don't know the impact that you might have at university on somebody else. And you might often, I think, we don't get to necessarily know what happens. You know, we live in a kingdom or a time of the now and the not yet. And we have to, our whole life as Christians, we have to remember that we won't necessarily know the results of our actions, but we have to trust that God has a bigger plan. And so if we can be part of planting seeds and helping people start their journeys, then that is brilliant. And that's such a privilege. And sometimes we might get to be involved in seeing that come round and seeing people actually coming to faith, which is really exciting. So just a few stats here. 2.3 million students enrolled in higher education in the UK, and sadly only less than 1% actually go to church or are involved with any sort of Christian activity at university. So you can see there that obviously from that, you know, our job is quite a big one, but we mustn't be scared by that. But it does mean that we do need to take responsibility and be excited about talking to our friends about our faith. So just some little Student Alpha stats so you can sort of put this in perspective. Jamie's little video already told us a bit about what was going on around the world. But in the UK, we've had over 500 courses that have been run since 2006, since we sort of started being Student Alpha. And last year, it was amazing. We had 128 new courses register in the UK alone, which is pretty exciting. So lots of people getting involved and giving up a few hours a week to go on that journey with their friends. And obviously, those are just the courses that register. There are lots as well that go underground and don't tell us. That's fine. We don't mind, as long as it's happening. And thousands of courses, over 1,000 courses worldwide have run. And Alex's job is actually to look after Student Alpha internationally. I have the UK to look after. He has the whole of the world. So it's quite a big big job, isn't it, Al? And it's currently running in over 50 countries. And as Jamie said, some of those include Brazil, Chile. It's just really taken off in, which is so exciting, particularly like South America. And so we're just really excited to see where it's going and people sharing their faith. So Student Alpha, as Jamie mentioned in that little video, you can run two different types of courses. So it's all about what's going to work for your mates in your context. Some of you might be really into running something that's big. So you could run Student Alpha Big. I mean, that's a big elephant. you might think, actually, this is a really brilliant thing. I would like to run a really big course, and really big could be anything from, I don't know, 15 people to 100. But the idea with the big course is that it might be run on a larger scale. It might be that your CU decide to run it as like a follow-up to Missions Week. It might be that your student worker says, let's run it as a student group at church and put it on in the evenings. Or it might be that you just decide as a group of you that you're going to run it somewhere on campus. And it means that maybe you'll probably give live talks, or you might, you know, you might watch the talks as well, it's up to you, but generally with live talks on the bigger course. And just some examples of universities that have done that. Southampton University, CU, they decided to run Student Alpha Big, and they ran it in their Students' Union bar, and they just watched Jamie's talks on the screens in the bar, and they had a big launch party where everyone got a free drink and a burger, and they just did that, as they've done that quite consecutively now for a few years running. Another example, a church up in York, students from there, they started off by running little Student Alpha courses, and last year they ran their first big course, and they ran it in a church hall, and they kind of made it all cool, and they had live speakers come. And so that's how they did it. And that wasn't, that was a student group rather than exactly the CU. So you can run Student Alpha Big, or you can run Student Alpha Small. And just because it's small doesn't mean it's not as good. Student Alpha Small is what has really, really taken off over the last year. And the idea is that it can just be with a couple of mates. It doesn't have to be lots of people. It might be that it's in your hall kitchen. It might be in a lounge. It might be in a cafe. Maybe you'll go to the pub and get around a laptop and watch the talks together. And the idea is that it doesn't cost any money, doesn't take much organisation, and everything is available for you for free online at studentalpha.org. And the same applies, everything's available for Student Alpha Big as well on studentalpha.org. But with Student Alpha Small, it just means that you might have a few mates in your hall. Maybe you've had that awkward trying to get to church on a Sunday morning, woken everyone up with your alarm, and they're all a bit like, well, what's this all about? And you're like, oh, I don't know. And so you're like, I don't know how to take this. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a preacher. How do I do this? And you could say, well, do you know what? There's actually this thing. We could sit down and we could watch a talk together each week for 7 weeks, have some pizza and just chat about it. And that would really, you know, you can just be honest about that and say, actually, I don't have all the answers, but this was a really good way of us being able to talk about it and me being able to tell you a little bit more about what I believe. Maybe that's over some baked beans on toast. That's where the baked beans come in, just in case you're wondering. So you could do Student Alpha Small. And a really good, my favourite example of Student Alpha Small was a girl called Beth, and she went to Goldsmiths University in London. She recently graduated, and in her third year, she had this thing where some of her flatmates have been like, look, you've been going off to church, sneaking off on Sundays for like the last 2 years, and we don't really know a lot about why you believe it or what it is. You know, lots of people haven't even ever met a Christian. I was the first Christian that my housemate Elle had ever met, ever. I couldn't even believe that, really, when she told me. I was like, are you sure? She was like, yeah, like, I've really never met anyone religious ever. So just remember, you could be that person. So therefore, if you can be that first opportunity to tell them a little bit about Christianity, then great. They've got nothing to sort of go on, so they're quite interested. So anyway, Beth was in this situation, and so she rang me up and said, look, I think I need to run a Student Alpha course. I'm a bit scared, but maybe we can do one next term. And I was like, oh, why didn't you just do one starting next week? She was like, doesn't it take loads of planning? And I was like, well, actually, no. You can just use the website and it's all really easy. So she was a bit worried. She was like, well, where would I run it? And I was like, well, have you got a room with some chairs? She was like, yeah, my kitchen. So I was like, great, you could just do it in there. So there was the birth of Ironing Board Alpha, as we now call it, because in her kitchen, she didn't have anywhere to put a laptop. So she had to, every week, she put her ironing board up and put her laptop on the ironing board and made sure everyone could see it. And yeah, and she ran a little Student Alpha course. And it was really amazing. They had 5 guests and 2 of them became Christians, which was just incredible. And I don't think Beth ever expected that that would necessarily happen. But what she was willing to do was willing to put herself a little bit out there, a little bit on the line. As she said to me in her own words, she was like, do you know what, I probably waste about 7 hours at least a week on Facebook. She was like, you know, giving up an hour and a half of my time once a week to talk to my friends about Christianity. She was like, actually, maybe I could do that. And so she just did it, and she decided, she loves baking, so she made cupcakes, and that was it, really. They didn't have a proper dinner, but they just had cakes. I mean, that's who needs anything else? And they watched the talks on the laptop. and had a little chat, had a small group discussion afterwards. And she just said, actually, it was really easy to do. And so I want to just say that, you know, if you're a big planner and you want to plan something big and have lots of fairy lights and I don't know what else you might like to have, then that's brilliant because you can do that. But also, if you're like, I'd just much rather, my friends don't really want to go to a course. They don't really want to go to a church. They don't want to come to see you. They're not interested. But actually, you might be able to say, well, look, you'd have to go anyway. You can stay in your pajamas. Great. So that's also out there. So that's Student Alpha Small. So the next thing is the Student Alpha Sessions. How does it look? So this is just to give you an idea of the things that we actually look at on Alpha. So the whole thing with what our philosophy and the DNA of Alpha is that we're wanting to introduce people to the Christian faith and to Jesus. And we want to give people a real taste of what Christian life is all about. What are the central tenets of the Christian faith? And how can we begin to introduce those? So, which is why some people might ask, why do we not do maybe such sort of apologetics style questions? And we totally love apologetics, and we're very good friends with the people at like the Ravi Zacharias Trust and the Oxford Centre for Christian Apologetics. But we have just shaped this slightly differently so that we can introduce people to parts of the Christian faith rather than maybe arguments, because we want people to begin discussing those things. So we start off with potentially you could do a launch talk, which is this it? Then it's, who is Jesus? And hopefully if people get that, it's like you take a little step forward. Why did Jesus die? Take a little step forward. Okay, so how can I now have faith? Take a step forward. And then it's like, well, how, like, why should I read the Bible? And how do I even do that? And how do I pray? And then we have a weekend away, or a day away, which I'll talk about a little bit in a bit. And that's where we look at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we don't call it the Holy Spirit weekend, which is what some people refer to it as, because we're very upfront and say this is what we're going to talk about. But also at the same time, we want to call it the day away or the weekend away. We just don't want to sort of give people, we don't want to scare people off, give people unrealistic expectations. But it's a time where we get to come together and look at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And because it's something that's a little bit more unknown to people, we need to spend a bit more time doing that and give people a bit of space to actually think and discuss. So that's that. And then we look at what about evil? And does God heal today? And what about the church and telling others? So if any of you have actually done the classic Alpha course, hopefully you'll recognise in there all the talks that we do on Classic Alpha, but you'll see where some of them have been squashed together to make the course shorter. So that's the sessions. So the recipe. What is the recipe for Alpha? There's a big yummy cake. It's almost lunchtime. Don't be too hungry. So the recipe for any Alpha course, this is all you need. All you need. You need fellowship plus a talk plus a small group. Anything else is a bonus. But those are your three things that you need to make the cake of Alpha dreams. So we're going to look at the first thing, which is the fellowship. Yeah, I'm a geek. Fellowship of the Ring. Did everyone get that? I thought that was really funny. So the fellowship, which can also be the food. Next one out. There we are. There we go. So most Alpha courses start with some sort of fellowship. Now, we appreciate that people don't necessarily have bags of cash, as much as I'm sure you'd like to spend loads of money on your mates and buy, you know, cook them a slap-up meal. The reality is, in your cupboard, you might have a couple of packets of super noodles. Chicken were my favourite at university. Baked beans and maybe some slightly gone-off milk. So the reality is you might not have enough money to do dinner for everyone. But the main thing is that main thing people have food is often that is where fellowship happens. So when people arrive, I would suggest that you have a time of fellowship. It might be that you just make everyone a cup of tea. It might be that you have some mawams, if you like those, like me. Or you might be, if you want to do food, you might just ask everyone, I don't know, maybe you do bring and share, have a picnic. You might do soup or something. But, you know, it's just a chance where you want people to come in and actually begin to experience what fellowship is like. We live in a world where community is not something that generally is quite hard to find. And I think particularly when you start at university and you're like, oh gosh, I've suddenly got to make friends and get to know people. And actually the church is somewhere where people can really find community and people are longing for that. So I think it's so important. Don't just think, oh, we'll just do 5 minutes at the beginning, everyone have a cup of tea and then we'll start. Actually, you know, make sure you do spend some time getting to know people, because if you're running a course where I don't know, your friend has brought a friend along and you don't know that person, it's really important that you begin to build relationships, because people want to be in a place where they can trust one another, and you don't want to start asking people questions about their life and what they believe and what they don't, if you haven't even asked them what their name is or what course they're on, or, you know, what they like doing on a Saturday afternoon. So it's really important that we actually try and build relationship, and in doing that we hopefully can show God's love for those people. And people will actually be like, okay, they're a bit different. They're actually interested in me. They actually want to get to know me. And which I think is quite a radical sort of witness that we can show. And so with the food, if you do want to do food, then keep it simple. Doesn't have to be extravagant. And think about the cost. It might be that you, if money is an issue, we don't all have billion-dollar notes, but it might be that you can think of some really good ways of doing the food thing, but without spending loads. I am constantly being told that I'm a thrifty person, which is a good thing. I don't think it means that I don't like spending money. It's just I like to try and, as if I can, get a bargain, or if possible. I'm quite like into vouchers, or any way of getting some, if I can get some free stuff, that's great. So with Student Alpha, if you can maximise, if you've got somebody who quite likes going out there and being a little bit cheeky and asking, oh, would you give us that for free? Or would you be willing to help donate some cakes, or go for it? Because actually people really want to get involved, and people really do, particularly I think in the local church. People are sort of like, students are like this other alien group. I don't really know how to talk to you. Don't quite know what to ask you. But I could bake you a cake, you know? Like, you might have somebody in your church who loves making lasagna. I don't know. Like, have you got somebody there who would be willing to cook you a big shepherd's pie for your Student Alpha? So just think creatively. And also, we... where we are in South Kensington, we have this amazing cupcake shop called the Hummingbird Bakery that some of you might have heard of. If you've never had one, if you come to South Kensington, come and visit me and we'll go and have a Hummingbird cupcake. They're incredible. But they're amazing. I went to them. I was probably just going to buy myself a cake. And whilst I was there, I thought, oh, I wonder what they do with all the cakes left over at the end of the day. Like, do they throw them away? And they said, oh, actually, yeah, we throw them away because we're not allowed to keep them till the next day because of health and safety. But we do a charity thing where if you're a charity, you can come and pick up whatever's left over. And I was like, bingo, we're a charity, Alpha International. So we had a little agreement with them that every week for Student Alpha, I would go along on a Friday evening and pick up whatever cupcakes they had left. Sometimes they would have like 100. And like, not even joking, we're like, don't even know what to do with all these cakes. And sometimes they'd have 5. So it just depended. And you just, but you know, why not go and see if your local Starbucks or your local Pret or bakery or whatever, do they give away food at the end of the day? So be creative. The next thing to think about. So we've had the food and the fellowship. And the next part of the recipe is the talk. It's round, don't know why, but it is. So the talk is very important, because obviously that's why you're asking people to be there, because you want to tell them about your faith. So this is the kind of crux of it all. So hopefully they've had some nice food and they're feeling chilled out, and now you can do the talk. So with Student Alpha small and big, you can do it either way, but lots of people use the website to watch the talks. So what we did was we filmed our Student Alpha course in London, and Jamie, she's just sitting there. Hello, Jamie. There we are. Jamie did all the talks and we filmed that, and that has now become our Student Alpha resource, which is free to download online. So all those talks that I mentioned in the sessions, they're all available for free online. That's my Lord's Prayer alarm just going off on my phone. Dismiss. Do that later. And so with the talk, you can do that by watching them on websites. So we're just going to watch a very little clip so you can get an idea of what they look like. There's the website. This is where you would download it. Yeah. It's from Why Did Jesus Die?
What do the following people have in common? Madonna, David Beckham, and the Pope. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But the answer is they all wear a cross as jewellery. But have you ever stopped to think how weird that is, actually? Because the cross was a form of execution. What would you think if you saw someone wearing electric chair earrings? Or lethal injection cufflinks. Or this, I borrowed this natty piece of neckwear from Nicky Gumbel, the man who made the Alpha Course what it is today. Clearly, very groovy. It's a nice little gallows okay. There, or hangman's noose. What do you think?
Okay, so there you can see, obviously, that's what it's like. So if you're running your course, you might be watching that on your laptop. We've actually got a Student Alpha DVD coming out later in the year. So if you're more into DVDs and like actually, you know, putting a DVD in something rather than having to do the downloading, that would be my preference. Then that's going to be available later on in the year. So you could do that from the comfort of your lounge. Or you might want to give a live talk. Now, there's no pressure to give a live talk, but it is good. It depends on what the environment is. If there are two of your friends in your lounge, I would recommend you probably don't give a live talk, because that might be a little bit weird and a bit scary for them. If you stand, hello, we're now going to talk, and they're just sitting here. Don't do that, maybe. But if you're in a group like this, it might be that if you've got some really brilliant students who are actually like, do you know what, I would quite like to give a talk, because there is a certain some sort of authenticity about if you get up and say, actually, I'm going to give this talk about why Jesus died. People are like, okay, that's my mate from, you know, my seminar on film studies or whatever. I know them and they're talking about that. And so I think you need to judge that for yourself. So if you decide you want to do live talks, which is brilliant, there are a few things that we've got to obviously help you do that. The first of those is a Prezi, which is what you are experiencing now. If you were like, what is this strange presentation that's not a PowerPoint that might be making you all feel a bit sick as it zooms in and out? I got a bit carried away. It's the first time I'd ever made one, so I got a bit excited by all the sort of gadgets of it. But this is our new Student Alpha resource. So when you watched Jamie just then and you saw those sort of things coming down beside him, all that is available. So if you wanted to stand up today and give that talk, you could have those pictures coming up beside you as well. So you can download those for free. And also, don't panic. You don't actually have to write a talk. You don't have to sit and listen to Jamie's and write it all out. So we've actually got the talks, again, available to download. And they're like this. So you can pick your talk. And in the sections where it's highlighted in blue, that's a story about Jamie or somebody like he's a story maybe he's told. So if you haven't got a wife called Andy and you haven't got four children, maybe don't tell that story, because people be like, that's a bit weird. What? I didn't know he was married. So that's where you can then inject your own story of dreams about whatever you want to use, you know, as an example. So those transcripts are there with all the basic things that you need to be able to tell that talk and to be able to give that. So they're all available to download. So it might be that you have seven brilliant students who are like, yeah, really up for it. And you can say, okay, you're doing this talk, you're doing that one, print them out, give them to them, go. And not only are they getting to that, it's really valuable experience, like being able to stand up and lead and give a talk. So that is there for you. Some other cool stuff. I'll leave it for you to judge whether it's cool, but I think it's cool, that we've also done. The other sort of multimedia spicy elements. We've also created some things called Vox Pops. I actually don't know why they're called that. Do you know, Alex? No, that's just their name. They're Vox Pops. Do you know, Jamie? Voice of the people. Okay, good. There we are. That's what it means. So we went out into London and we filmed people for each of the weeks of the talks. And we said, who do you think Jesus is? Why, you know, do you think Jesus died? And so it's just real people giving their opinions. So we're just going to show you one now. This is my favourite one. We asked them about the Bible.
That's a big question. I was an English student, so I've seen the ways that it's influenced pretty much everything that I study. It's easy to look at it as one person's or one tribe's faith, or one tribe's explanation of things, which has become popularized by history.
It's like, I don't want to read it too much, because I know so many people have been influenced by it, and like, in a negative way. As well, I know quite a few people that have, you know, gone a bit mental.
I think, yeah, it's a brilliant kind of metaphorical guides to live your life in certain ways.
Well, quotes from the Bible will help you for life.
Yeah.
But it's quite hard, sometimes it's quite hard to understand.
There's so much good stuff that comes out, and I'm incredibly grateful that I was raised reading the Bible, because it gives you a great moral sort of structure to build your life upon.
I'm aware of some of the stories and the lessons we learned from it.
Yeah, I did Sunday school, and stories and things I still know now, but I've never actually sat down and read the whole thing all the way through.
Sure, there's guidelines somewhere in there, which all books are written by people, and all people are fallible.
It could be completely imagination, or it could be real. You know, I have no idea.
I think a lot of people haven't read it, and maybe even a lot of people who claim to be Christian haven't really read it.
I haven't read any of the Bible. Sorry.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, it's so good. I love the fact it wasn't even set up. Like, we didn't, those are just random people. It's just priceless. So, as you, that could be used in lots of, all these things are available again, free to download. So you can kind of make your course look however you like it. That didn't make any sense, that sentence. But hopefully you got the vibe. Some people, we use them when we run our big, our Central London course, we use it, these at the beginning. So after everyone's had their food and just before we have the talk, we put this on and it's like our little introduction to the evening session. I think what it does is, one, hopefully it makes people laugh a little bit. And if people are there and they're like, actually, do you know what? Like, I've never read the Bible. I don't have any intention to. I've no idea if it's true. You know, like that girl is priceless when she's like, everyone's is turned a bit mental. Like, maybe they think that. Maybe they think that you're all mental. Actually, by her saying that, that then allows them to have that opinion. You know, if they want to voice that, somebody else has already done it. And I think that that's really important, that we create this atmosphere where people can say whatever they want, and we have to try and choose not to be offended by that. But it's really important. We don't want to sort of shut people down. So hopefully the Vox Pops are a good way of saying, look, we want to engage with the reality of what people actually think and your questions. And some people, if you're a techers kind of person, you might be very clever and be able to use this as advertising for your course. So some courses have used these on Facebook and YouTube and have just put like a little slide on the end saying, you know, Student Alpha, 7 p.m. Student Union, come along, free food or whatever. So people watch that and then they're like, oh, okay. So it just gives people a little taster and they can kind of think, oh, I might like to go to that. So there's one of those for every week. The next exciting thing is we've had some animations made. So some of the classic Alpha stories, they're not sort of specifically alphas, but you might have heard them in other contexts, but we use them on the Alpha course. We've had some of those made into a little cartoon. And so this is one of them. We're just going to show you now.
A man was walking along a beach in Mexico at low tide after a storm. He saw that there were tens of thousands of starfish left stranded on the beach, dying in the heat of the sun. And off in the distance, the man saw a young boy who was picking up the starfish one at a time, going down to the sea. The boy then went back to get another one, picked it up, walked back to the water's edge, and threw it into the sea. The man went up to the boy, he laughed, and he said, look, can't you see there are tens of thousands of starfish out here? I don't really think that what you're doing is going to make any difference. The young boy suddenly carried on, picked up another starfish, went down to the water's edge, and threw it into the sea. And then he turned to the man and he said, well, I bet it made a difference for that one.
So that one is actually used in our Telling Others talk, which was one of the last ones. But again, you could use that as like a little, you could put that on Facebook or YouTube. You could use that to advertise your course. And there are a couple of others as well. So they're, again, they're all available on the website. But I think that is also quite a poignant moment to think, you know, it could just make a difference to one person. So just think about that in every conversation that you have and all the things that you do. Don't be disheartened. People are quite hard and people are quite closed because we've created this world that says that that's the way people should be. And so don't be disheartened if after 3 weeks you're like, maybe no one comes back. Maybe week three, no one comes back. Maybe it's because, I don't know, there's the AU ball or something. And everyone's like, do you know what? I want to go to the AU ball and I don't want to go to Student Alpha. Don't be disheartened. You know, sometimes these things happen to the best of us. But actually, you're making a statement by saying, I'm still going to carry on. And maybe the next week people will come back. We always have in the summer term at Alpha HTB. It's when all the like big Champions League football matches and things are on. And we run our course on a Wednesday night. And so there are always, you can tell, you can look around and there'll be certain Wednesdays when there's a big like Champions League match on. And there are significantly less men in the room. And women as well, maybe. But it's just that thing of, you know, that's the reality of life. People already have things that they've prioritised and that they want to do. But don't be disheartened by that, because actually you're making a real statement by saying, look, I really want to go on this journey with you. And I'm still going to be here. I'm still here regardless. So just think about who might be the other one. So we've had a few things. Now we're going to talk about mainly the heart of Student Alpha. Not mainly, that is what we're going to talk about. So we've had the talks and the food, and the next thing is the small groups. And this is what we do say is really the heart of Alpha. Any Alpha course, the small group is the heart. Because where we want to sort of try and really be out there, I suppose, is that we really want to ask people questions and we really want to hear what they've got to say. And so the small group is all about that. So next slide, Al. It's a little small group here that you can see. There they are. Barbie, Ken, some sort of weird man in an orange boiler suit. But there they all are. That's our little small group. So the small group, typically, it depends. If you're running Student Alpha Small and you're just doing it with your flatmates, there might just be a few of you. That's fine. Typically, a small group on a larger course would be made up of about 12 people. So you might have 8 guests and then 4 people who are helping to host. 2 of those would be leaders and 2 of them would be helpers. And that's kind of how it normally works. And the idea is that you, if you're there, if you're hosting a small group, it's no different from if you're hosting a dinner party for your friends. I'm not sure how many dinner parties I had at university, but imagine if you were having mates around for dinner, how would you treat them? You'd want to make them feel really welcome. You'd want to make sure they had a drink. You'd want to make sure they were comfy. You wouldn't take the comfiest chair and let them sit on like the funny kitchen stool because you've run out of chairs. You'd let them have the comfy chair. So you need to think about that and imagine it's no different. Just because you're doing sort of like a Christian course doesn't mean suddenly it needs to be all sort of strange and coursey. It can just be like having your friends over. So that's how you need to think about it. How would your attitudes be towards your guests if you're having them around for a party? Imagine the same sort of thing. So at the beginning of your small group, again, important to make people feel relaxed. They might have just heard this talk. Maybe it's upset a few people. Maybe some people have fallen asleep. Maybe some people are, you know, really confused. Maybe some people are angry. Or maybe some people are just, you know, raring to, like, have a big discussion about it. So you need to really feel the temperature of your group. And the small group is that chance where you then get to help facilitate a discussion. This isn't your chance to give another talk, just so you know. If you've been watching a talk, don't think this is your chance. Just make sure they really understood all those points again, because they've already heard one talk and they've probably been in lectures all day. Depends what degree you're doing. I think I had one a day or something ridiculous. But this will be the chance for them actually to be heard. I don't know about you, but I think actually at university, most of the time I spent being talked at. And so this is a chance for people to be heard, for them to feel like, okay, I can have my say now and I'm going to be listened to. It's time to have some sweets, maybe a few classic icebreakers. Everyone loves an icebreaker, don't they? I do. So it might be that on the first week you kind of do, you know, if you were stranded on a desert island, what would you bring if you could bring one thing with you? You know what an icebreaker is, that kind of thing. Make sure if you have got a group where people don't know each other. So if you are running a course where you've got lots of, say it's with a CU and you've brought lots of people in, make sure you have name labels maybe, or do some sort of like name game. It's quite important that you know one another's names, makes people feel valued. So do that and become friends. And it's really important, actually, that you stay in those small groups if you are doing a bigger course, that you stay in the same ones each week because it gives people that continuity and that they can begin to make friends. And you, over the course of 7 weeks, you begin to open up because you're like, okay, I know my leader is Beth and the guy who gets the tea is Alex. And it's actually okay. I kind of trust them a bit. I can probably, you know, I might be up for telling them a bit about me and what I think. And it's really important as well that you really have an open mind. You know, we need to view everybody with a kingdom perspective. We need to view everyone the way that Jesus would. We need to treat them all with love. But it's really important to remember, hopefully one day, that all those people in your small group might be with us, like with you in heaven. And so actually, how do you want to treat them? You want to treat them from day one in the same way you would treat any of your members of your family or your Christian friends. So don't judge them. You know, like if they turn up and they still hung over from 2 nights before or something, don't make them feel bad about it. They're probably going to feel really bad about it anyway and be a bit embarrassed. And so it's that thing of being like just showing them love. You know, we're in a very different place. We're already in a place where we've come to faith and we know Jesus and we've experienced that love. And so actually these people don't. So if they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend that they're sleeping with, for example, they don't necessarily believe what we do. So why would they behave in the way that we do? So it's just remembering that, having the attitude of these people are actually putting themselves on the line as well by coming and saying, look, okay, I want to find out a bit. So make sure you treat everyone with respect and love. And I think that you can't go wrong. And so no question is too stupid. That's really important. If somebody obviously is being particularly really offensive, or I don't know, making you feel quite uncomfortable, maybe they're being really offensive or racist or something that you're just like, this isn't really on, regardless of where we are, you know, it might be that you just want to have a little quiet word with them and say, look, are you all right? I just, you know, this might not be the place. If you're able to just like tone it down a little bit, you know, I think it's just important that we don't want to exclude anyone, but also at the same time, we want to make sure that we're looking after the rest of our group as well, that we're not letting other people be very upset. But it's important that people do feel that they can say what they want. So just, you know, you need to use a bit of discernment and wisdom with that. And so nothing really is off limits. So they can pretty much ask what are they like, but it's up to you in how you respond to that. How do you deal with that? And if you think everyone in your group is suddenly really upset, then you might just be like, okay, maybe we can talk about that later on our own. We can go have a drink later and talk about that. And it's really important that you try and create that atmosphere of respecting everyone's viewpoints, everyone's questions. You're there to listen. It's very important that you remember that. I know I've already said it, but this is their chance to talk, not yours. And I think it's so important. Listening is a real art. And actually, there's a difference between looking like you're listening and actually listening. And we need to learn to like actively listen, to really engage. Like, what are they saying? There's nothing worse than it's that blank kind of, okay. And then they finish and you're like, oh, I have no idea what they just said. Gosh, I don't know what to say next. Actively, that genuinely take an interest in them. If you genuinely take an interest in what they're saying and their life, it's going to be so much better because they're going to actually feel valued and that they've got some worth and they've actually got people like, okay, well, you might not agree completely with what they're saying, but you can take an interest in it. And I think that's really important. And I think people can see through that very quickly if you're not genuine. So that's just something to think about. And so one of the key phrases that's a classic sort of alpha phrase is, that's really interesting, what does anyone else think? Probably not said in a patronising way like I just did. But just genuinely being like, okay, so if somebody says something bizarre and you're like, gosh, that's a bit strange, be like, okay, that's really interesting, what does everyone else think? And it's that thing the whole time that you're not trying, I don't want to be the person talking all the time. But also you don't want Bob in the corner to be the only person talking all the time because you've got 10 other guests in your group. So it's really important that you, as the facilitator, are the person who's helping that conversation to bounce around. Now, what you don't want to do is point and be like, so Alex, what do you think? Because then poor Alex over here, maybe he switched off for a minute. That's okay. He's a guest. He's allowed. But maybe he really doesn't want to say. Maybe he's really shy. You know, so don't point out on people and make them say things if they don't want to. But it might be that, I don't know, Ollie over there, maybe he looks like he's got something to say and he's sort of like his mouth's going a little bit. And you're like, oh, I think Ollie wants to say something. So you could be like, Ollie, did you, you know, and he might be like, no, no, okay, that's cool. So, but it's really important to try and create that thing of conversation. And the ideal small group would be where I have very little to say and it might be just, you know, the conversation's bouncing around and then it might come to a natural end and then I'll be like, okay, and I'll ask another question. So it's really important. One of the examples of questions, we're going to look at this just very quickly. It's really important how we phrase our questions in the small group. So we have to remember that some people are there who will have never, ever prayed, ever. And as much as that might seem strange to us, for some people that's a reality. It's like the same thing with the Bible. They might have never been in a church. So instead, it's very different. If you say, when did anyone last pray? Suddenly you've excluded potentially half of your group because they might not have ever prayed. So if you've asked them, when did anyone last pray? They're going to be like, oh gosh, well, I've never done that. But if you say, has anyone ever tried praying? It's the same sort of thing, but you're basically including everyone because then somebody could say, actually, no, I haven't ever tried praying. And that's okay. So it's just really important. And don't be worried about how you phrase those questions, because actually we have all the questions for your small groups are all available to download as well from the Student Alpha website. So for each week, you can click, get the small group questions. And the idea is that we're just trying to engage people with these things. We just want to start the conversations. You know, how did you feel about the talk? How did it make you feel? What did you think about it? And just trying to allow people to sort of start asking those questions for themselves. So that's the small group, the heart of Alpha, very important. So for the recipe, we've got, who can remember the first thing? Fellowship, good. I was like, oh no, it's like being a teacher, a test. No one's going to fail. Fellowship, and then it could be with food. Then we had the talk, great. And then we had the small group, brilliant. And then by that time, it's probably 9 o'clock, and it's probably to get time to go home, maybe go to the pub, go and get a drink in your hall bar. You know, it doesn't have to be the end, but it's quite important that when you say you're going to end, that you do actually end. So some other little bits, just to look and think about. Oh, here's the session. This is it. This is what I was going to talk about. So this is roughly how, this is how we run it. So when we run our Student Alpha course, our big course, we get the team together at the beginning to prep and pray. Really, really important, and something that too often we can kind of forget to do, I'm guilty of as well, is that actually prayer really, really makes a difference. And if we can all be on it from the beginning, if you can get your team together, or maybe if it's just you as your team on your own, if you can have that time at the beginning before your friends arrive, just to really pray and to offer that time to God, and offer your friends and just ask that God would come and be with you, it's really, really important. And it might be that that's another way of getting your church or the rest of your CU involved in your course. They might not be able to commit to coming, but maybe you could say, well, would you commit to praying for half an hour on a Wednesday, wherever you are? We'll all be sort of praying together across campus for this. So have food or fellowship at the beginning for half an hour. You're welcome, and if you're doing worship, if you're doing a small course, maybe don't stand up with a guitar in your lounge and start suggesting that you sing How Great Thou Art. Might be a little bit awkward. Or people might just think you're trying to, like, you know, practice for the X Factor, your auditions. I'm not here for that. So just think about that again, about whether you want to have worship. And the reason that we have worship on courses is because, again, we just want to give people a taster for what church and Christian life is all about. And worship is central to all that we do. So that's just, again, why we have it. So it might be that if you're on a little course, maybe you've just got a CD or some music, Christian music, that you just want to put on at the beginning. And if someone says, what's this? You can then tell them what it is. So it's just think creatively about how you do that. Then we've got the talk, small groups, and we end at 9 o'clock. And I always have the really embarrassing job at our course of going up. Everyone's having a really great time, having these big debates. And then I have to come and be like, hi, really sorry, it's 9 o'clock. It's time to end now. And you can see people like daggers in their eyes looking at me being like, oh, I just had an amazing question I was going to ask or a point that I wanted to make. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, it's time to end. But it's really important that when we say we're going to end at 9 o'clock, that we end at 9 o'clock. Because for all you know, they might be desperate to get back for The Apprentice, or they might have a birthday drinks they're going to or something. And actually, if they're not allowed to leave when they were told they were going to leave, they might not come back the next week. There's nothing worse, I think, that you know probably what it's like. It's like if I carried on today until 1:30 and I was like, you can't go, we haven't finished yet, sorry. You'd all be like, oh, well, I'm never going to go into one of her seminars again, ever, because I missed my lunch and I'm really hungry. And she said I was going to go, and then everyone gets upset. So just finish when you're going to say you're going to finish. That's my point. So some other things, Al. I think we've got a few other things to talk about. Some other bits. There we are. The Student Alpha day or weekend, which I mentioned, obviously it's really, really important that you have that, because it is three sessions where we look at the person of the Holy Spirit and what he does. And we give people an opportunity to maybe be prayed for the first time and to maybe encounter the Holy Spirit. And again, it's the sort of thing you really need to judge this on your friends and your course and how you do it. We do an afternoon when we do our course in London, because actually for the students to get out of bed before 10 a.m. is quite a struggle. And so we say, do you know what? You've been here on a Friday night as Student Alpha. Come back at 1. We'll give you a really nice lunch. And then we're going to spend the afternoon looking at the topic of the Holy Spirit. We have some worship. We have an opportunity for prayer time. And then last year we had a big cream tea. I think it's really important when you do your day, do something different. Like, treat them. Maybe this is where you could get your local church involved in helping provide something that's a bit different. Maybe it's that you go out for the afternoon and you go for a walk. Maybe you go and play Frisbee. Maybe you do Laser Quest. I don't know what it is, but something. Something just a bit different. And the point of the day, it's really for that chance for people to begin to process everything that they've heard. And you want to give that a bit of space. And it's a time for people to respond, potentially, as well. And there's no expectation that people suddenly, you know, on that day have to make a decision. We're not putting any pressure on them. But by giving people a bit more time, just to be able to chat to you and have a chance to maybe be prayed for if they'd like, it's just really important. And again, it's that thing of if you're doing it in your lounge with your friends, you might be tempted to be like, well, I won't do the day because that's a bit scary. I don't want to do that. I would just recommend that you still, maybe it's that your local church has an alpha day or an alpha weekend that you could go on together. You'd be like, well, we're going to join up with these guys. Or maybe it's just that you watch the talks together. I don't know, you have some popcorn, watch the talks. And then you just tell people beforehand. You make it really clear what you're going to, just be like, we're just going to have a chance if you'd like for us to pray for you, if you'd like me to pray with you, then that's what I really like to do. And I'd like to, and you know, people might be like, okay, I actually really like that. So don't be scared of it. And if you, obviously, I realize this isn't very long to talk about it, but if anyone is going to run a course and is like, that is the bit that really scares me, then that's what I'm here for as well. I'm here to be able to help and encourage you and find ways in which we can make that work for you and for your friends. So please do come and talk to me about that if you'd like to. Worship, obviously I've just mentioned that. The venue, really important. Maybe don't run a student alpha course in a room like this. Maybe. I thought I walked in, it looked a little bit like a hospital. So maybe go for, think about your venue, think about where you are. You know, if your friends definitely don't ever want to go into a church, maybe don't run it in your church. But if your church is quite, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, got some nice comfy sofas and a nice coffee machine, and actually you think this would be really good for helping them to see that church isn't pews and choirs and it can be different. Maybe it's that you run it there. So just think, it's like that thing. Offer them the comfy chair. Think about the lighting. Maybe don't have like really bright lights on. You know, think about the mood. How can you make people feel really relaxed and comfortable? And then this is really, really important. Think about your team. You want the best team of people available to help you, the A team, some might say. And Nikki Gumbel always talks about the best friend test. So I would recommend that you all think about this. And this doesn't just have to be used for alpha. This can be for anything, really. But think about if you had your best non-Christian friend, if they wanted to come along to your course, whose group would you put them in? And if you say you've got Bob, I don't know, you're like, hi, Bob. Bob's potentially going to be your leader. Would you put Matt, your best friend, in Bob's group? If the answer is no, then maybe Bob's not the right person to lead the group. And it's really important that you think, and it doesn't mean that Bob's not a nice person or that he's not good at, I don't know, his subject, he's not good at leading worship, but maybe he's not the best person at actually making people feel chilled out and relaxed in a group, a small group setting. Maybe he's quite shy himself. So just really think about that and be like, who do I want to ask to be involved on the team? And maybe it would be that they'd be better being a helper rather than a leader. Maybe they feel much more comfortable being like, yeah, I would love to give people sweets and make them cups of tea, but I definitely don't want to ask any questions. So maybe you just think about that. So, and then once you pitch your A team, you need to train them. It's quite important. No team can function properly or do a good job unless they've been trained. So really important to train them. And with the training, again, you don't have to do this on your own. It might be that your church runs alpha training for their course. Go along to that. Brilliant. Or, surprise, surprise, you can also get the student alpha training with Jamie giving the talks available for free as well online. So it might be that you get your team together. There are three talks. There's small groups, so how do we do small groups? And I've given a little taster for that today. Pastoral care, so how do you look after the people that are coming? You know, what if you're running a course and you've suddenly got, I don't know, 30 of the rugby team, they turn up. You're like, how on earth am I going to look after you and love you? So pastoral care is really important. How do we do that? And then also prayer ministry. So how do we pray? If we get an opportunity to pray for people, how do we do that in a way that isn't going to be scary or weird? And so training, very important, online. And if you don't do it, Mr. T is going to come after you and tell you off. So do the training. It's really, really important. And make sure you do it before you start. I would recommend that. Somebody rang me up and was like, I've started my course, but we haven't really done any training yet. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Maybe we should do, maybe you could do it this week. So I would recommend that you obviously do it before you start so you can be best prepared. But if you haven't done it and you're suddenly like, oh gosh, we never did that, maybe still do it halfway through. But I would recommend first, just don't not do it at all. So the next bit is, if you're going to run a course, so if today you're like, oh, I would quite like to run a student alpha course, please would you register your course? The reason is not so that I can be big brother and hunt you down at university and come be like, hello, I'm coming to check up on your course. Are you doing it right? Are you leading worship with one guest? Or it's not because of that at all. It's actually because my beautiful glamorous assistant's going to hand out some student alpha little cards. It's so that if you're running a big course, if you register it, it comes up on our website. So if somebody's searching, I'd like to find an alpha course, it will come, your course will come up. And so that then they can potentially come along. And so actually, that could be really good. If you're running a course, again, if you're running a course in your lounge with two friends and you're a bit like, well, I don't want any random strange people to turn up, that's okay. Please still register your course so that I know it's running and so that we can pray for you and we can just adjust it so that it doesn't come up on the website. So we totally understand. We're not expecting you suddenly to sort of invite the whole of your university into your front room. But it's just really great to know that the courses are running because we really want to be able to pray for you and also let you know all the cool new stuff that we're doing. And the next slide's very important as well. Alex, you're about to have a Mauam. Yeah, I'm a bit jealous. This is my email address. So I would recommend now that if you'd like to, there's no pressure, you might all want to write that down somewhere. It's boz, B-O-Z, at alpha.org. That's me playing on a children's playground, like things like that. And yeah, you can just email me whenever you like, really. Just, you know, if you, I don't know, want to have a chat, you're bored, need some help with your lecture, I don't know, but mainly about student alpha. But I would be very, I'd be very happy to receive any emails from you. But I'm, yeah, my job obviously is to help develop student alpha in the UK, is to come and to speak to people at universities and to do training. It could be Loughborough University rang me up a couple of months ago. They were like, we're starting, is that you? You from there? Did you come to my training? I thought I recognised you. I'm so sorry. You're like, I've heard all this before. So they rang me up and said, we're running a student, we're going to run three or four student alphas, potentially starting next week. Would you come and train our team? And I was like, oh, wow, that's quite cool. So anyway, I turned up, was a bit worried. Maybe it was going to be like the York situation with one person. I turned up and there were like 30 people there who were going to be on their team. And so that's brilliant. And I actually gave the small groups and pastoral care training. So I didn't do a talk like this. I talked about how we run small groups and how we actually do that. So I am available for those things if people need me to come and help. Or it might be that just the day before your course, you're a bit worried about the food and you want to have a chat about that. So you can always email me about that as well. And lastly, very importantly, I've been very selfish with the airtime. It's not at all like how a small group should be. Does anyone have any questions? We are at 12:30. So officially the seminar finishes in 15 minutes. So if people have got any questions now, maybe actually what I'll do is I'll give you a minute or a couple of minutes, chat to the person next to you, tell them what you thought. If you fell asleep, fair enough. Did you have a nice dream? If you found something interesting, maybe you want to tell them that. If you've got a question, maybe air that, check that they don't think it's too offensive. And then in a minute, we'll take some questions if people have got them. And I'm going to eat a Mauam in this small moment. Thank you. evening. She all right? Apple are my favourite. Because they're almost sour. Okay, you all look like you're having a good time, which is good. I just had quite a funny text from Jamie Haith, who snuck out, who is my boss. And he put, great quote, Boz. 30 of the rugby team turn up and you ask yourself, how am I going to love them all? He's very inappropriate and says naughty things all the time. So I'm sure I will now never live that down. And that's going to live on in the history. We have a quotes wall in our office where if anyone says anything slightly inappropriate or I don't know, just ridiculous that you're going to regret having said forever. It goes on a post-it note that's on the wall of shame for the rest of your life. So I think before I get back to London, it'll probably be on there. Jamie said, sorry, he didn't get to come and say hi. He's going to go and have lunch with his mum. Isn't that nice? She lives in Brighton. So without further ado, does anyone have any questions that they would like to ask or thoughts they'd like to share? Yes, I'm afraid I don't have another microphone. You'll just have to shout and I'll repeat it. Very good question. What, preferably, should the ratio between Christians and non-Christians be on a course? I would recommend that you have, if possible, less Christians. So say you're in a scenario, a girl called Miriam in York, she ran a little student Alpha course with her house or her home group, her cell group. They decided that for a term they were going to run student Alpha. Now, in their cell group, there were like 15 people. And what they said was that everyone had to try and invite somebody. If they brought somebody along with them to the course, then they could stay for the small group discussion. If they didn't, everyone could be there for like the food and the talk. But if they didn't bring somebody with them, it wasn't like they were telling them off, but it was just like the reality of, well, you haven't brought a friend. Then they went and did all the washing up and got like the biscuits and stuff ready and prayed in the kitchen. And so it's just that thing of being like, ultimately, you don't want it to be overwhelming. Suddenly, all these Christians. And it's not that we're saying, you know, we're bad or not nice and we don't want you to admit. It's just actually giving those people a chance to have a chance to speak. So I would just say that preferably the ratio would be that you have a couple of leaders and helpers and the rest of the people should be your guests. It might be, I mean, a classic thing, we always have it at church when we run our Alpha course. We often have lots of people who are Christians coming on the course because lots of people have heard about Alpha and that's fine and people want to come along. But it's just really important on the first week, if you think, okay, I've definitely got some Christian people in my group, maybe it's you just go and say to them, it's so great that you're here. Just wanted to like just say that obviously Alpha, we're trying to provide an environment where people who aren't Christians feel really comfortable to be able to talk about what they believe. Would you be up for kind of being on side? Would you be up for sort of helping? And in that, you know, would you be up for helping make the tea and getting to know people? But in the small group time, would it be all right if you don't, you know, in a nice way, in a loving way, but if you don't like ask loads of questions or talk loads, because I've had that before. You know, one of my friends, Steve, he was in my Alpha group and I was like, oh no, I've got a really annoying Christian in my Alpha group. I didn't know him at this point and he just had so much to say, like so much to say, which is brilliant. But I was like, oh, and it was like, I didn't really know how to deal with it. I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be a car wreck. Everyone in my group was like, oh no, I definitely can't say what I had to say now because he's going to like come after me. So after week one, I just said to him, oh Steve, it's so great you're here. I just wondered, would it be okay if next week, you know, in the small group time, you could kind of be a helper and not say anything? And he was like, yeah, of course can. I didn't realise that was how it went. And I was like, oh, that'd be amazing. And he was totally fine. And now, like, he's, you know, we laugh about it. And he's like, oh, you thought I was a crazy Christian. And I was like, yeah, well, you were a little bit. But so just, you know, don't be afraid of having those conversations. You know, that's all part of pastoral care. Pastoral care doesn't mean that you're a pushover. Doesn't mean that you're a wuss. And that you know, actually being pastoral sometimes means having some sort of, and being able to say to people, you know what, actually, this is not the time for you to have that big, you know, moment on your pedals, on your soapbox. So don't be afraid of that. That would be what I would say. Any other questions? Yes. What do you do in the uncomfortable silences when no one's got anything to say or no one asks questions? Is everyone feeling uncomfortable now? It could be a lot longer than that. Again, I've been in those situations. I would say, one, you could pray in, pray in your head. That's why it's really good having helpers as well, because you can say, look, can you just kind of be praying? I know you're not saying anything, but can you just sort of be praying in your, you know, in your head whilst the small group's going on? I would definitely, don't be afraid of the silence. Don't think you've got to fill it straight away. I was always that person at university in a seminar. When somebody asked a question, I find it so difficult. It's like, I really don't have the answer. I haven't even read the chapter, but this is so awkward that I'm going to say something anyway, just to break the silence. If you can restrain, because actually the reality is that somebody else probably will say something eventually. I mean, if you feel like it's really, I mean, it's been 5 minutes. This is just like really awkward. Maybe just don't be afraid either of saying, okay, that's all right. Just think of a new question, be like, what does anyone else feel about it? You could, at that point, it might be appropriate to say to one of your helpers, Alex, what did you feel about the talk? And at that point, obviously, as Alex is my helper, this isn't his chance to go on a massive rant, but he might have one little golden nugget that sparks off some conversation. So don't be afraid of using your other, you know, Christian people in your group. It might be that you need to get them involved in helping sort of spark that. But also at the same time, it could be that some of the best things come out after a small silence where someone's thought, I'll just wait and see if anyone else says it. And they haven't. And it's like, maybe I will. And that's where it's really important as well, to actually be alert and sort of reading your group. Because if somebody's kind of fidgeting and looking a bit like they might, you know, people often start sort of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but they start sort of, I think if people want to say something, you can tell often. So just try and read that. Does that help a little bit? Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Really good question. Have we got any advertising strategies? I think being creative is a real gift. And if you've got creative people who can help do stuff, that's brilliant. Different courses do it differently. Some of the cool things I've heard recently, Roehampton University, their Christian Union, they ran Student Alpha on the back of their Invited, that's what it was called, Invited was their Missions Week. And it was really brilliant. What they did was they decided, lots of the CU committee were from a Vineyard church, and Vineyard said, we'll give you like 200 bottles of water, which you can put little labels on. So they put stickers that said you're invited to Alpha and the time and the date on these water bottles. And then they went out after their students union closed at 1 a.m. or whatever on the Friday night. And they gave out water bottles to everyone leaving and had conversations, helped people getting to cabs, that kind of thing, and gave them a bottle with a sticker on it saying you were invited to Alpha. And they had 60 people on their course, which is amazing. And they were just like, I mean, I don't think it's just down to those, but it's like, how can you be creative? Like, where are people? Where are the people that you're trying to reach? So that would be one thing, like thinking creatively about that. Because I think social action kind of stuff actually says a lot about us as people, about what we're trying to do. And again, there's a up in Hull, they do a similar sort of thing. They do Love Hull Uni, and they give out disposable flip-flops to girls at the end of nights who their feet are hurting from their high heels. Again, that would have been me. And they use that as an opportunity to have a conversation and to invite people along. I think flyers, you know, if you're going to do a launch party, we do normally do a launch for our course, and we normally give out an invitation that involves, you know, a free beer and a burger for everyone who comes. And then at that launch party, we do like a little short talk, so a taster. We do that, and we give out sort of like few hundred flyers. Flyering isn't necessarily the most effective way of getting people along. I think the most effective, really, it's personal relationships. So if you're invited by somebody personally, that is always, I think, going to be, you know, that's generally the reason I go to anything, because one of my friends or somebody who I've met, who I've had a connect, I'm like, oh, well, they asked me to go, so I probably will, just at least to give it a try. But we do have advertising stuff. So all the advertising stuff for Alpha, that is all available online from the Alpha print shop. So you can get that, and you can print it off as well for free and just add your own course details in. And you can use some of this stuff like, is this it? Does God exist? And you can then put your course details and things on. So you can do that. Freshers' Fair, be creative. In Liverpool, there was a course, Student Alpha course, and they made this big board, and it said, does God exist? And then where the tick boxes were, they'd cut out holes. And they have bean bags, and they basically went around Freshers' Fair being like, does God exist? And then somebody, they gave him a beanbag and had to try and throw the beanbag through the hole for the like question, you know, whichever answer they thought. And then if they got it through the hole, they got a sweet or, you know, they got a prize. And it was that kind of like, instead of just standing there behind a table, which again, there's nothing wrong with that, but it might be that you think actually these people at my uni, we need to go beyond that table and go and be walking around and engaging with people. And so just think about what would make you go to something. That would probably be my bit of advice. None of these are the right answers. Things work differently for people. These are just ideas of stuff that has worked. Any other questions? No? One more? Yeah? So the question was about how do we, on a face-to-face level, how do we invite people who maybe aren't Christians and do that sort of like the relational thing? I would say if you do some sort of launch thing, or if you're in a CU and maybe you're doing missions week and doing lunch bars, maybe you might have opportunities then to talk to people and bring them in. Maybe if you're a church, I always think this will be the best thing ever and I'm waiting for someone to do it, probably because I would go. Why not do like a big Sunday lunch, like a big roast? Because when I went to university, the thing that I missed the most, one was my mum helping me do my washing. Embarrassing. And also, I missed roast dinner more than anything. However I tried it, Bisto gravy, granules with water, just wasn't the same. It's just not the same. And so maybe it might be that your church think, do you know what, for freshers, end of freshers week, we're going to put on a big Sunday lunch. And we're going to invite loads of students to come, give them some really good food. You don't need to have a Christian talk necessarily. It could just be a chance to get people there. Maybe it's helping people move into their halls of residence. Maybe it's doing like a laundry club, you know, pay £1 and we'll do all your ironing for the first week fresh. I don't know but it's that kind of like, how do we begin to bridge the gap and go out there and be able to talk to people in where they are? And lots of CUs do things like text a toasty, don't they? That kind of like, how can we get out there and engage with the people that we want to talk to? So those would be the things that I'd probably... Free food. Alex, yes, please come and say something.
Somebody invited me to go on an Alpha course about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'd never been to a church before. But I think the thing was, he was a really good friend. I noticed that he lived his life differently. There was something distinctive about him. And I'd started asking a few questions. And I think that's the thing, is like you notice when the fruit is ripe, then it's time to pick it, not just banging on to every person you meet, come to Alpha, come to Alpha, come to Alpha. It's about genuine friendships and relationships. And actually, if you carry on being who you are and living your life, a Jesus-centered life, people will notice. And actually, it's those people who sit next to you in the course say, actually, I saw you last night and you weren't drunk and everyone else was. Why was that? And my housemate, who's also called Alex, I'd ask him this and he'd just say, it's because of Jesus. And I thought that was the most ridiculous answer I've ever... I was like, you absolute numpty. That's ridiculous. But he was like, well, it is. That's why. And I'd kind of like ignore him, go out, get drunk, come back in the evening and be really like, what are you like that for? And he'd just say, it's because of Jesus. And then in the end, I asked so many questions. He said, well, I can't answer these questions for you, but why not just do Alpha? Because then you'll have a chance to ask somebody who might be able to give you some more answers. And then I went along to Alpha because of that. And I think that's the thing. It's like genuine friendships and like just keeping your eyes on Jesus. And actually people will come naturally, I think, rather than trying to force it.
There we are. That was a good note to end on. And I realised that I'm very sorry. I've gone slightly over the 12:45. So now people might never come back. I'm really sorry. But thank you all so much for coming. And please do get in touch. Oh, very important. Please follow us on Twitter. Do it if you have a phone, @StudentAlpha. If you want to follow me, it's @LouiseBoz, but I'm really not that very interesting. I kind of personify Student Alpha, that's the one. And then Facebook as well, we have a fan page. And all our stuff, new stuff, goes onto those things. That's how we communicate with people. So yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Yay. Thank you for coming. And have a mawam before you go.